You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings. I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. The show is available anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, and you can simply ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. And today I have a couple of pretty good stories for you that I'm excited to tell, as well as some of your podcast ideas. I asked on Twitter, I'll link this tweet in the show notes if you want to contribute your own idea, but I basically just wanted to know, hey, what questions do you guys want answered that are maybe more in-depth questions or things that would require a whole podcast segment? Of course, it's the summer, we got some time to kill, so let's talk about what you guys want to talk about. So, click that link in the description and go to my Twitter and go answer a question and give me a follow if you care to. But before we get into that, and it's a pretty good one, I'm going to give you all a primer on personnel packages and kind of the advantages and disadvantages to each and how teams, and specifically the Vikings, tend to use their personnel packages on offense. We kind of did something similar on defense when we went over like 4-3 and 3-4 and all that, but I want to tell you about like 11 personnel, 12 personnel, what that means if you're unfamiliar, and kind of how teams like to use it and where those interesting preferences come. But first, our vegetables before dessert. And, you know, I see a lot of comments and see a lot of questions and stuff kind of centered around when somebody's underperforming. Hey, how many chances does somebody get, is this person going to get, right? If they have a poor game, if somebody is, you know, has a poor season, you kind of go, well, how many more times are we going to go, oh, it's okay, it was just a fluke, we're going to give you another chance. And my response to this is always kind of wishy-washy, because I don't think the NFL really works under that paradigm. You kind of get as many chances as you get, and there are some people who get one chance and that's it, and there are some people who get 1,000 chances and kind of get all of the opportunities in the world, and sometimes you can get 5 chances, have all of them blown by some crazy facet of bad luck or extraneous circumstance, and suddenly your 6th chance is the one that actually takes. And there are players like that, guys like, gosh, Gary Barnage, you know, guys that don't blossom until they're, you know, in their age 30 season. And I think kind of Taysom Hill is in that place right now where he kind of had a bunch of runaround, and you know, somebody like Tom Johnson, right, who had to go through a bunch of these leagues and kept getting cut from teams and not making teams, and then suddenly he experiences a renaissance under Andre Patterson. And for me, Braylon Addison has kind of been one of those guys who had 4, 5, 6 chances, and his story's a little bit of a wild ride. So let me take you back to when he was in high school. He was a quarterback, really dynamic, run around. He was this like short 5'10", kind of Kyler Murray type almost. And so when he was being recruited, he wasn't delusional about his ability to play quarterback and kind of make it. He thought he'd have a better chance at, you know, securing an NFL job and a salary and all that stuff if he moved to wide receiver. So when he was recruiting, he ended up only kind of looking at schools that were looking at him that way. You know, if you want me to play quarterback, of course, that's great, but I know where this is going to go. You know, I'm 5'10", I'm a runaround guy. NFL teams aren't going to be interested in me. This was back in, I want to say like 2010, 2011. I think somebody making that same decision now might approach it differently. But around that time, you know, 10 years ago, you kind of knew what you had to do to make it if you were that kind of athlete. I mean, Russell Wilson wasn't even in the NFL yet. There was very little precedent, and Colin Kaepernick, like there was very little precedent for all this unless you want to go all the way back to like Fran Tarkenton. And so he ends up picking the Oregon Ducks, and he has a decent career there as like this skill player, kind of gadget, wide receiver, running back type, this like dynamic, get the ball in his hands type athlete. He's there during all of the Mariota years. And in April of 2014, this is the year before his junior season, he blows out his ACL. He ends up missing that whole 2014 magical Oregon Ducks season with Marcus Mariota, and he ends up going second overall the next year. Even in the national championship, Braylon Addison ends up being unable to play. And it's this kind of this tragic stroke of luck, especially for college players. And you're going to hear this a lot because a lot of college players, you know, will suffer some injury during their time, and that's why they end up being undrafted or falling all the way to the 7th round of the draft, or, you know, not making teams and stuff, is kind of because there's this momentum, there's this inertia when it comes to college careers. You know, if you can kind of build year over year over year over year, by the time you're in your senior season, you have a pretty good chance at doing something draftable and proving yourself to a team. But if you have that rhythm messed up, it can really kind of cut things short. It almost like raises the bar for what you have to do in your senior season to make teams forget that you were injured the year before. And so without Marcus Mariota and the Ducks kind of fall back to earth, Braylon Addison ends up going undrafted and he ends up landing on maybe the worst team he could have landed on. So ACL, that's stroke of luck number one. Stroke of bad luck number two is landing on the 2016 Denver Broncos. Now, they were coming off a Super Bowl season. They had a pretty elite wide receiver group headlined by Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and they had all the depth they could ever want. And so Braylon Addison was really just a camp body. He was somebody that just it wasn't going to have a chance to make the team. Somebody like on these Vikings, you know, somebody like a deep tight end. You know, the Vikings have their tight end, so being the fifth guy in that group is not really going to be not going to give you a great chance. And Braylon Addison was kind of stuck in that limbo, that purgatory. So sure enough, he doesn't even make it past the first round of cuts, but he ends up getting signed with the Chicago Bears, and he ends up being part of their team for that entire 2016 season, although I don't think he ever got active. Then sure enough, in May of 2017, before he even gets a chance to prove himself to the Bears in an actual training camp, the Bears are dealing with a whole bunch of coaching changes. This is kind of the tail, chaotic end of the John Fox era over there. And so they have some guys that kind of want to bring in hashtag their guys, and they end up cutting Braylon Addison to bring in somebody that they're more familiar with. So that's stroke of bad luck number three. So after being an undrafted free agent, getting cut twice, Braylon Addison doesn't get a call for the rest of the 2017 season. And for most people, you're going to actually hear this kind of story beat a lot during this series, especially with like XFL guys and, you know, other undrafted players. If you spend an entire year out of football and you weren't a superstar, you probably aren't coming back to the league. Once you've spent a whole year and not gotten any calls, you're going to want to start circling classifieds because it's super rare that anybody comes a call in. However, every once in a while, you'll get a saving grace. And for Braylon Addison, that saving grace was the Canadian Football League, specifically the Toronto Argonauts. They needed a little depth. Hey, it's a job playing football, right? It's a chance to kind of get your foot back in the door. Maybe you can prove something. So Braylon Addison ends up going to Toronto, and he, again, ends up kind of buried on the depth chart behind like three or four people. And before he gets a chance to prove himself to even the Toronto Argonauts, bad stroke of luck number four happens. And before I get into that, I want to tell you really quick about Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar, compare it to something like a Clif Bar or a Luna Bar, that is, for me, just the perfect little bite right after a workout or in the morning. It's not too sugary. I don't like, Clif Bars are like way too sugary for me, and they'll make me feel sick if it's like the first thing I have in the morning. And this doesn't have that. It's this perfect, wonderful, rich, chocolatey flavor without all the sugar and without all the guilt. Makes for a great like late night snack too. It's chock full of protein and good vitamins, and it's pretty good for you, and it can be a nice, guilt-free, luscious treat. And it comes in a whole bunch of really fun flavors. There's like a toffee almond one, there's a fudge brownie, there's a peanut butter brownie, and even a fruity one, like a chocolate raspberry, if that's more your speed. So head on over to builtbar.com, and with your first order, you can actually get $10 off if you enter promo code LOCKEDON. I'm saving you money. So go to builtbar.com, and with your first order, they'll deliver it right to your door. Enter promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off. So it's August of 2018, and Braylon Addison is on the practice roster of the Toronto Argonauts. He didn't even get on the team because they're another team that kind of had their guys. And then the Saskatchewan Roughriders release Daron Carter. And yes, that is the Daron Carter. I actually think he tried out for the Vikings. He's Chris Carter's son who kind of became a CFL superstar. And so with a CFL superstar on the market, Toronto wanted their guy and they needed to make some room. And who gets the short end of the stick? That's stroke of bad luck number four. Because of course, after a whole year, you're finally getting your feet under you. You're at least on a practice roster in the CFL. You finally have a chance and some superstar is available and your team wants to go that way. And then suddenly you're out on the street. But this is the part where I go, oh my goodness, how many chances does this guy get? He gets cut from the Broncos, cut from the Bears, cut from the Toronto Argonauts, but another team comes a calling. The Hamilton Tiger Cats in Ontario Province, Canada, decides to bring him onto their practice roster, take a flyer, and at least have a guy on the scout team. And this is probably Braylon Addison's last chance, right? You don't go through two NFL teams and two CFL teams and still expect to have any kind of career playing professional football. but he's still on the practice roster. He's still in the minor leagues. And how do you prove yourself? You kind of just have to wait for a stroke of luck. And so stroke of good luck number one, I guess, except for the player who goes down, the punt returner for the Hamilton Tiger Cats goes down. And Braylon Addison gets called up and he actually gets to do a punt return. He was called up for one game. He gets to be the punt returner, and wouldn't you know it, he houses the thing. He takes it all the way back for a touchdown. And this would have been the spark that ignites his career once more. However, penalty on the receiving team, it gets called back and it doesn't count. And that takes a lot of the wind out of his sails. Now, if you were really scouting and trying to evaluate talent and stuff, of course you wouldn't care that there was holding on somebody else, unless, of course, you know, it sprung the play open. I couldn't find the play, so I can't tell you that. But suffice it to say, stroke of bad luck number five. And the next day, he's bumped back down to the practice roster. But that might have left just enough of an impression, because in training camp 2019, he gets invited back, he actually makes the Tiger Cats team, and even though he's deep on the roster this time, the Tiger Cats experience a ton of wide receiver injuries. Four guys go down in front of Braylon Addison, and he ends up actually getting starting reps. He's finally back on a field from scrimmage, and even though it took, and he talks about how those are his friends and he was very sad for them, this is the opportunity that reignites Braylon Addison's career, because he puts up an elite stat line. 95 catches, 1,200 yards, 218 yards rushing, add another touchdown on top of his seven receiving touchdowns. He made a difference. He was a real part of that Tiger Cats offense that went all the way to the Grey Cup last year. And so after such an elite performance, and after looking back at the trajectory of his career and just how many times he just was in the wrong place at the wrong time or got unlucky, the Vikings decide to give him a call and bring him into training camp, sign him to a futures contract. This guy, Braylon Addison, is the reason I do this series. Guys like him, who really, you're going to probably see him described every other place that he's mentioned. They're going to describe him as, oh, just a camp body, a nobody, who cares, he's going to be in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, whatever. But this is somebody whose career has gotten a second life, a second wind. This is a player who probably won't make the team, I acknowledge that. But for one, CFL guys have made the team before. I mean, we just had Brandon Zylstra, right? And this is kind of a similar situation. You take an elite guy out of the CFL, see if he can't make the squad. And even if he doesn't make the team, even if this is curtains for Braylon Addison, he's still probably, you know, out of chances, if, you know, to go back to how I started this thing. I think his story is just worth telling, because he's somebody who kept fighting and kept fighting, and a person who has absolutely not an ounce of quit in him. That's who you want in your football team, right? And even if he doesn't make the team, now this is the guy that other guys have to beat out. Somebody who has scraped and clawed and scratched and crawled his way back into the NFL after, to be honest, two teams that never really were going to take an undrafted free agent from the last regime or cut some already established receiver from a Super Bowl run in the Broncos case for some random dude who didn't even play his junior year in college. If Braylon Addison stays healthy and everything goes normally in terms of training camp, or as normally as it can go, this is somebody who has a lot to prove. And if he can prove what he'll obviously tell you he can prove, he will make the roster. Now, I won't be putting any money on that, but I think it's just worth telling this guy's story so you know exactly who you're looking at when he comes in the fourth quarter of the fourth preseason game with one final wide receiver roster spot on the line. And if he can get in at punt returner and house one, suddenly have a Marcus Sherrill situation. I mean, these kinds of things have happened. And even if he doesn't, even if Braylon Addison doesn't make the Vikings and that's curtains on his football career, it's still a career that's worth telling quite the story about. Either way, I'm kind of excited to watch this dynamic gadget player taking handoffs from Jake Browning or whatever. Should be kind of an exciting and fun thing to keep an eye on in the part of a preseason game where none of the starters are in and everybody's complaining about how they're still awake on a Saturday night. So that's going to do it for the Storytime series today. I meant to do somebody else. I'll just push that into tomorrow, but I wanted to give this story its due, so I guess I spent a little bit longer, went way over on it. We're pretty far into the podcast. So instead, I'm going to pivot now to the podcast topic from the listener. I'm going to try to do as many of these as I can because I love it when you guys are involved in what I do here. So this one comes from SkullVikings27. He asked me to go over 10, 12, 11, etc. personnel and explain where it benefits the Vikings and what do we like to use and when. And this is something that a lot of you might already know about, and if you are a particularly diehard football fan, you might not hear anything new here, but hey, I hope you can stick around at least for the refresher, and if you aren't familiar with this kind of stuff, then allow me to learn you some. So when I get back, we'll talk about what those personnels mean, how they are denoted, and exactly what that means for the Vikings and how they tend to kind of navigate that particular battleground. So be sure to stick around. All right, so that was a fun story time. Let's get into some nitty-gritty football stuff. So, SkullVikings27, you wanted to know about personnel packages, so I'll give you the quick rundown on how these things work so you can at least take that. And I'll link in the show notes a really good visual aid that I found on Twitter that I think illustrates this better if you're that kind of learner. But the general system that most teams use is the first number is how many running backs there are, the second number are how many tight ends there are. There are five skill players in on a given offensive play, so whatever's left over is the amount of wide receivers. For example, 21 personnel, the two running backs, the one tight end. That's three players, so there's two left over to be the skill players, so in 21 personnel, you have two wide receivers. The most common one in the NFL is 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. And it's as simple as that. The Vikings like to use 12 personnel, so that's one running back and two tight ends, Rudolph and Irv Smith, leaving two wide receivers. They also like 21 personnel with Dalvin Cook and CJ Ham, and then one tight end, that's been Kyle Rudolph, and then of course two receivers, Diggs and Thielen, probably Diggs and Jefferson, or gosh, what a sad Freudian slip, Thielen and Jefferson. And that's it. Whenever you hear two numbers and then a personnel, you know, 10 personnel, that's one running back, zero tight ends, that leaves four spots left over. Those are all wide receivers. It's a four wide receiver set, which you see in like a fourth quarter or, you know, 2 minute drill or third and long. Now, the strategies behind this is where it gets a little bit more complex, right? Because what do you do? Well, the most common ones, again, 11 personnel, three wide receivers. That's what like Sean McVay and the Rams use almost exclusively. And some teams just stick entirely to 11 personnel. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. Somebody yell at me on Twitter, at Luke Brown NFL, if I'm wrong. But I believe that 11 personnel is not only the most common, but the most efficient personnel set out there when you look at the NFL as a whole on average. Most teams have three good enough wide receivers, and the third wide receiver is probably going to be a better passing option than the second tight end or the fullback or whatever. And so that's going to be the one you see most often. And the league has been moving more and more in this direction as the years go on. If you remember me talking last week about the 3-4 defense and how it's all nickel, well, that kind of resurgence in nickel or needing three cornerbacks is a response to everybody putting three wide receivers out there all the time. You need a third cornerback to cover that third wideout, where really before in the 90s and even the aughts and kind of earlier, you had a lot of 21 personnel. You had a lot of, think about like Adrian Peterson in an I formation with a fullback in front of him, you know, a tight end also blocking, and then a couple of wide receivers on either end. That was the standard for decades and decades and decades. And just now are we moving into more of a three wide receiver kind of world. And that's why you kind of need three corners. And the difference between a 4-3 and a 3-4 kind of gets muddled up because you need three corners anyways. And so whoever's on your front seven is going to be a little bit more homogenous. And if you want to know more about that, go listen to the Vikings Aren't Moving to a 3-4 episode from, I think it was Thursday's ep. But for the Vikings, and actually for a lot of teams, this is kind of the next movement in the trend. And this is something that Gary Kubiak and Mike Shanahan and that whole kind of tree of Mike Shanahan disciples, Kyle Shanahan and Gary Kubiak and all those guys, Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, they're all a little bit more interested in 12 personnel or two tight ends, one running back and two wide receivers. And the reason for this is because they love this play-action bootleg game. Essentially, the whole point of a Kubiak offense is to maximize play-action. And there's a very, very strong analytical case to be made that maximizing play-action is a good idea. How to actually maximize play-action is where analytics tend to diverge from the Kubiak offense, because the Kubiak offense is very run-heavy, and analytics would tell you don't establish the run first, just start running play-action, and I tend to agree with that. But suffice it to say, the Vikings will be employing quite a bit of 12 personnel. I actually put this to a poll to see what you guys thought on Twitter, and I said, you know, okay, you have your four skill players that are going to be on for pretty much every play, right? Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, and Kyle Rudolph, probably going to be your four on just about every play and every setup. You'll rotate in the other guys every once in a while. Alexander Mattison will take a series or two or whatever, but that's going to kind of be your four principal skill players. And then as you sub package in, you'll have a lot of CJ Ham, you'll have a lot of Irv Smith, you'll have a lot of, you know, this guy and that guy. And ask, okay, who do you want to be the, like, the fifth core guy? You know, who are your five starters? And then everybody else is sub package and bench. And I said, you know, do you want it to be Irv Smith? What about like Tajay Sharpe or BC Johnson, CJ Ham and 21 personnel? Of course, the Vikings had a ton of success, especially with play action with that fullback on the field. And overwhelmingly, you guys wanted Irv Smith to be the fifth guy. And I 100% agree with you all. I think it would obviously be best. I think for one, out of those options, the best pass catcher there is Irv Smith. So if you want to run a pass play, I'd much rather have Irv Smith on the field than like BC Johnson or Tajay Sharpe. Even though Johnson and Sharpe are faster, of course, you know, Irv's a tight end. He ran a 4.63 40. That's a fast tight end, but that's slower than like Laquan Treadwell. He's a tight end. But he's a good route runner. He's good at finding separation and holes in zones and stuff. And I think him coupled with Thielen and Jefferson, I think this team is really actually primed to carve up zone defenses in 2020. So for the Vikings, that's one advantage, that I just think their second tight end is better than their third wide receiver. That was absolutely true last year, and I think it continues to be true even though they got Tajay Sharpe in the building. I'll probably do a bigger episode on Irv Smith and his future prospects. That was another one that somebody asked about in the Suggest Me an Episode Twitter conversation. So I'll leave that for later. But suffice it to say, that's going to be one reason to do 12 personnel. Another reason to do 12 personnel is you're just going to run better when you have bigger players on the field. Or at least that's the prevailing logic. I actually don't know if that bears out or is analytically true. I know that it's better to run with spread out formation, which kind of makes sense, right? If you have, say, two wide receivers on either side, that forces the defense to take two wide receivers on either side and pull them out of the box. And then you also have your two safeties. So you kind of guarantee yourself a five-person box. And even though you then have fewer blockers, that's kind of fewer points of entropy. And I guess another way to say this is for an offense, it's easier to win a 5-on-5 than it is to win a 7-on-7. In a run play, if you have one defender beat one offensive lineman, you know, if it's a 7-on-7 and you win 6 of those 7, well, that other guy, that one loss, is going to come into the backfield and ruin the play anyways. And so you kind of have to go undefeated on a run play for the run play to be successful. That's actually why run plays are unsuccessful so often. How many times do you see even the best running games, you know, Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott and all of the, you know, Saquon Barkley and all these, how often do you see them go for 1 yard in a cloud of dust? And I think that's just because it's generally difficult to win across the board, especially in big jumbo packages where it's 8-on-8, 9-on-9. It's just difficult to win. And so spreading out can be better for running. But with the Vikings, at least, you can put Irv Smith in the slot. You know, you can have, if you have, 11 personnel, say, with, or 12 personnel with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith, you can line all four of those guys up and not have them be in line in the box, inviting a defender into the box. So you can still run those spread out formations with that 12 personnel. And of course, Irv Smith isn't going to be like running a dummy route, right? He's going to come in, he's going to block a Will linebacker or something, but you've managed to make the alignment the way you want it by doing this without sacrificing any passing game prowess. And so that's why 12 personnel, I think, is going to be a big fixture for the Vikings. And we kind of say that every year. I mean, it was true last year, so it's especially easy to say this year. But even back in like the Norv Turner days, we were like, they finally got Michael Pruitt. He's going to be the guy this year. And it was a little bit silly. Like, I think the logic was like, well, he made a big thing out of Gary Barnidge, so this is, everybody draft Michael Pruitt in your dynasty fantasy leagues, which actually kind of turned out well for you in a roundabout way, because he's like doing all right for the Titans. But anyways, the point is the Kubiak Shanahan style of wide zone offense relies on a lot of play action. And the thing about play action is if you can get the right personnel out there, you can be particularly deceptive if, you know, you are best at passing out of 12. And I think we've proven that they're probably best at passing out of 12 just because Irv Smith is better as a weapon than like a Tajay Sharpe. I think I could make that argument. And I think that running out of 12 is also probably going to be better, because I bet Irv Smith is a better blocker on a linebacker than somebody like BC Johnson or Tajay Sharpe. I think that's also an easy argument to make. So when you come out in 12 personnel, no defense is going to be able to cheat. They're not going to be able to understand, you know, like in previous years, going back to the Norv Turner days again, when Adrian Peterson was on the field, it was a run play. And then you'd bring out like Matt Asiata or Jerick McKinnon, and it was definitely going to be a pass play when Adrian Peterson came off the field. And so defenses could kind of key on that, and actually it got really predictable and it became a big problem for those Norv Turner offenses. And even though I generally push back in that, like, that's how play action is sold, the way that play action is actually sold is something that that personnel group is particularly good at. Irv Smith turned out to be a pretty good seller of play action, and Kirk Cousins is famous for it, as well as the offensive line has been really good at it. You know, the Vikings have just been a very good play action team, and I think a lot of that has to, I think that's like the reason to get Kirk Cousins. And of course, Rick Dennison and Gary Kubiak, they know how to teach you how to sell play action and stuff. So I think coming out in 12 personnel for the Vikings, and this is really the crux of the argument, if you don't have to make a decision between, well, do I do my run personnel or my pass personnel or my play action personnel? They're all the same. They're all 12 personnel with Kyle Rudolph, Irv Smith, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook. That's the one. And of course, you got to mix in the CJ Hams and you know, the BCs and the Tajay Sharps and all that. You got to mix it all in and not do the same thing every single play. But in terms of your base, your staple, your kind of bread and butter, it's really easy to make that decision because it's the best one at all the different things. Some of the other ones, though, I mean, of course, again, like I said, the Vikings in 2019 had great success with Cook and CJ Ham out of 21 personnel. I think they should definitely still work in 11 personnel, and who that third receiver is actually probably going to be a camp competition between Tajay Sharp and BC Johnson, which should be an interesting one to watch. And I guess you throw in like Chad Beebe and, you know, maybe even like if you're really high on KJ Osborne or something, you know, put him in there. Shoot, Braylon Addison, let's go. We just told his whole story. Let's root for that fun plot twist. But, you know, that third wide receiver, we don't necessarily know who it's going to be, but that'll still be pretty good, especially on third and long and other situations where feigning the run doesn't really do you a lot of good, so you might as well just put a guy who can get across the sticks faster. But I think generally, all other things being neutral and equal, the Vikings are going to use 12 personnel, one running back and two tight ends. And again, to familiarize yourself with what all those numbers mean and what those personnel packages mean, click the link in the show notes. That's a really good visualization that helps me kind of think about it. So with that, I'm going to sign off for this episode of Locked On Vikings. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I will be back tomorrow. I will definitely tell you the story that I told you I was going to tell you today, but the Braylon Addison one went long, and of course a whole bunch of other fun content that I haven't decided what it's going to be yet. So fun, it's the mystery meat, I guess. I don't know. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can definitely respond to that and tell me what podcast topic you guys want to see. I'm open to any and all suggestions here in the summer. You can also find the show on Twitter at LockedOnVikings. You can find the show anywhere you find your favorite podcast, or you can simply ask your smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings. Don't forget to go order some Built Bar at BuiltBar.com. Promo code LockedOn for $10 off. And as always, Skol.